Hello, hello, ahoy. My name is Simona Binko, and this is a short update version of the CCAIB, the Contemporary Czech Art in Berlin podcast. You might remember our today's guest from one of our previous episodes. We invite guests connected to the Czech-German art scene, because contemporary Czech art is not only about Eva Koťátková, Kateřina Šedá, and Krištof Kintera. So without further ado, let's dive in. So in the today's episode, I would like to come back to Anna Kubelík, who we recently visited at her studio to learn about her new projects. But at the beginning, I would like to shortly remind you of who Anna Kubelík is. She was initially trained as an architect, and now she focuses on creating art that explores space and often sound, using whatever materials necessary to suit each project context. Her work is research-based, and she often collaborates with other artists or scientists on her projects. Alongside her artistic work, Anna is a professor of artistic experimental design at the Architecture Faculty in Konstanz in Germany, and holds the position of principal investigator at the Cluster of Excellence Matters of Activity, which enables her to act as a curator between artistic practices and science. So Anna, welcome back to the CCAIB podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
During the CCAIB visit in your studio, you mentioned that inviting people inside your studio forced you to step out of your thinking process and made you reorganize your thoughts and rearrange the space. You staged for us each of your projects in progress onto separate tables. And I feel that you work very precise and you put a lot of effort into research before making anything physically. How would you define your working process as an artist very closely connected to the spatial context?
So first of all, I found it very useful for you to come and visit me because it did put me in a position to order my thoughts and structure also my projects that are quite a few coming up. And I thought that it was extremely helpful because most of my projects that I was working on are still in its very early stages. And in these very early stages, things are very fuzzy. And the great thing about this stage is that they allow a great spectrum of potential and possibilities. And at the same time, they're also very unspecific. And in these early stages, what I do is, as you mentioned, I do a lot of research into all things that I find personally interesting, but also that I feel are connected to the project. So a lot of background research on historical aspects, project plans, spatial plans, architectural plans from the places and venues that I actually will play with or do an installation in or make objects of. And at the same time also, there's also a theme. For instance, an example is I'm having a show in a former cinema, and so the question of film, photography, light, the play of light is something that I'm interested in, and so I'm starting to collect little artifacts, toys, games, knowledge on things that relate to art, art and light, the play with light, and these. This table, for instance, with this project, collected at the beginning the research on one hand, the architectural plans, but also anything that I came across by coincidence or by research that is for me still connected with light and how this will manifest in a performance, in an installation, in an object. I'm not sure yet at this stage, but basically that's how I start working. And this is also a methodology that I started, I think, through architecture. And the beauty of architecture is that you learn a lot about very specific and concrete ways of working. But in art, you have this freedom of just following an interest and asking maybe more questions than finding answers.
I would like to pick one of the projects to speak more in depth. And naturally, we are mostly interested in the project with the Czech background. You are currently developing a project mapping the memories of your grandfather, Rafael Kubelík. So how is that going? What did you find already?
So maybe I'll start at the beginning. The reason I started this project now is that there's a jubilee of the Bavarian Symphony Orchestra, the BSO, and they approached me as one of the few descendants of the former conductors of this orchestra. So I suddenly realized, well, one thing that you can inherit and that you have that nobody can take away from you is memory. And this was the starting point for me to realize that there's still people around that have met my grandfather or even worked with him, played with him music or assisted him in the compositional aspects of his work, or just were friends with him. And I'm tracing these people right now with a colleague who I have in Konstanz, who's also a professor for documentary and filmmaking. And we're together developing, first of all, a rough outline of everyone we can find and trace, and starting interviews with these people. This is one approach. The other one is that I found all these nice, large, beautiful objects called LPs, vinyls, just recently in roof of the storage. I'm now listening. I'm getting in touch with the analog aspect. And interesting for me here, unlike how we're sitting here with the digital means that we have nowadays, is that when my grandfather started working and the recording became suddenly very technologically advanced and possible to record things that were longer than 3 minutes. Because there are recordings of my great-grandfather. These are very poor recordings, I have to say. And they're also only like a couple of minutes long. And they have, of course, an incredible magic to them, because if you listen to something that you know has been recorded 120 years ago, it does something with you. And knowing that it was my great-grandfather also, of course, is a special aspect, but also, I mean, that he even had the device to record something. So this sound, this recording of something so ancient, so past, through technology that was just developing, made me start thinking about how this sound could also work into the presence and how it has something analog versus the digital. So I'm listening now to all the recordings that my grandfather made, and he was one of the first to record the complete symphonies of Mahler, the complete symphonies of Dvořák. And I think that's also a precedent. And that's, I think it set out a standard also for many, many recordings to come afterwards. And so I'm aware of this very outstanding position he was in and time he was living in. And I'm curious about that. That's what I'm researching as well.
You talked a lot about memories and recordings, which are intangible things. Mm-hmm. Are there maybe also some objects which you are interested in?
Yes, I was talking about lost sound. And one object that I'm particularly interested in is a violin that my great-grandfather bought, Jan Kubelík, and he passed on to my grandfather, Rafael, and it was called the Emperor from Stradivari. And it was said that this violin was actually the best Stradivari that Stradivari ever made. And it was passed on to also my grandmother, who was the first wife of my grandfather, who was also playing. And then finally also to Yuko Shiokawa, the wife of Andras Schiff, who played over 30 years this violin. So I can remember it. I can remember its sound. And this sound, it was different to other violins. I can remember that the comparison of this sound had different yeah, color. And of course, it's also a question of who's playing it and the skills and passion and emotion that you put into playing such an instrument. But yet alone, the object itself, as an artist, what interests me is how it was made, what... I mean, every single element of this violin was significant in many ways, different to a normal violin, from the way the strings are held on a V-shaped surface. There was a violinist engraved into this, and you don't see that in other violins, or the way the strings are tightened at the top. These specific objects were also carved in a specific way that I've never seen on another violin. And for me, as a sort of object and space artist, I'm interested in understanding what makes a sound so incredible and experiential. And what if the sound also is lost? You know, where is it? Where is this sound? And how do you also work with sound, or how do you work with objects that aren't there anymore? This is a question I'm asking myself right now.
So we will wish you a lot of luck proceeding with this project, and are eager to find out what will be the outcome. And maybe you are having also some projects in the near future. Could you name what is coming up next?
So on the 20th of May 2024, I'm going to collaborate with Oliver Schmidt, the musician I've also been working with on the Well-Tempered Hygrometer. And together with a video artist and another musician, we will create an installation that is experienced by the audience for several hours, almost the whole day, in Stein am Rhein, which is a very amazing place, actually. It's an old city from the Middle Ages, and the frame of the Schaffhausen Jazz Festival this year. And the next thing that we're going to be working on is I have a solo show in a former cinema called Apollo in Kreuzlingen. That's also in Switzerland, just next to Konstanz, where I teach. And it's an old cinema from the 1930s that is being reawakened, as they say, for events, artistic events, concerts, etc. So I will have a solo show there with the opening on the 13th of June 2024. And then the following week we have on the 20th of June a performance, an improvised performance that we relate to my exhibition.
That sounds like a very busy calendar. And in the end, I want to add some interesting tips and tricks to this podcast. I know that you recently participated in the mentoring program des Deutschen Kulturrates. Could you tell us shortly what is it about and what did it bring for you?
So this program has been developed by the Deutsche Kulturrat, as you mentioned, and it's exclusively for women. The idea is that there's not enough women represented in the cultural scene, and that's not just artists, but also museum directors, curators, people working in theaters, directors from theaters, people from foundations, directors from foundations, really like the leading positions, the leading roles, like in any other, unfortunately, domain, also in this domain, there's far too little women represented. So what this program invests to do is to connect not only through a mentoring that you have with someone specifically from your field who should help you and guide you to get where you want to, through either being themselves already in that position or having the right connections to the places and people that you need to get where you want to go. But also it's a network amongst all the women who are mentees, and not only throughout this generation I'm saying that I am in, which is the seventh, but it's already gone through seven cycles, and I think it will also continue. So it's well worth applying to as a woman who wants to advance in any kind of realm of the cultural world. And you get connected to all the places and people around the whole of Germany through everyone who's in some way engaged in the cultural activities. So it's a great program.
And last but not least, I would like to come back to the studio visit. What did you like the most about the format?
I really enjoyed that it was informal. Of course, I prepared, realizing that all these people will come in my studio. Coming into a studio is coming into the brain of my world. So it's also something very intimate. And that's something that I felt was the people who came, it felt that they were aware of that and were respectful towards this concept of entering a space that is, you know, also still with a lot of unfinished work. And what I liked is that you also introduced everyone, or everyone introduced themselves, invited to open up this conversation that happened at the end. So I briefly showed my work, but then it transformed quite fast into a conversation, first as a bigger conversation amongst everyone. So the quantity was good, but also then it sort of divided itself into smaller conversations. And I felt there was a great exchange amongst not only myself and everyone else, but also amongst the visitors themselves.
I would like to invite you to the next CCAIB visits on April 24th. We are going to Hošek Contemporary, which is a gallery and a performance space located on a historical boat at Fischer Insel. And it was founded by Petr Hošek after he relocated from Prague to Berlin in 2014. And after that, we will visit the visual artist Gabriela Tiedhalová, who was a finalist of the most important award for emerging artists in Czechia, the Jindřich Chaloupecký Award in 2023. So we are looking for your coming. And also, thank you, Anna, so much for the interview.
I already signed up and I'm looking forward. And thank you so much for having me.
So this is it for today. Thank you all for listening. If you are interested in learning more about contemporary Czech art in the German context, subscribe to our newsletter. This podcast is produced by the Czech Center in Berlin. Sound design is made by Zuzana Markéta Macková. Visuals has been done by Barbora Demovičová, and I, Simona Binko, am the host of this show. I wish you all a pleasant day, and let's stay in touch through the CCAIB community.